You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. I'm Ron Fraser. We're listening to a series of eight talks by biblical scholar Joel Smith. In these talks, Joel will increase our understanding of the history of the early Christian church and how it contributed to our expectations of Christ's return.
Now, in Islam, there is a 1,300-year-old prophecy which reads, quote, "Ere long, God will shine from the face of the glory of the Most Glorious with the name of Baha on the Day of Absolute in the plain of Akka." According to this prophecy, the Promised One will come to the plain of Akka, and his new name will be Baha. How much more explicit can you get? His name was Baha, and he was sent to Akka involuntarily as a prisoner. Now, the word Baha means glory, and you may have noticed the repeated references to the glory of God or to the glory of the Father in the prophecies. For example, Jesus said that the Messiah, quote, "the Son of Man, shall come in the glory of his Father. Then he shall reward every man according to his works," unquote. This is Matthew 16. So the Son of Man shall come in the glory of God, the glory of his Father. And according to these prophecies, the Promised One, with the new name of Baha, will come to Akka, Mount Carmel, and the plain of Sharon. And Baha'u'llah very specifically did that. Now, the city of Akka, in the middle of the 1800s, at the time when the Jews began to return to Israel, the city of Akka at this time was the most desolate prison of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. The entire city at this time was a prison. And life in this prison was so disease-infested and so harsh that there was a saying back then that a bird who flew over Akka would die. Now likewise, people who were sent to this hellhole usually also died. And this is the city where Isaiah said that the Messiah would come. And apparently, he was saying that the Messiah would come as a prisoner. Now, Isaiah spoke of the people who will oppose the Messiah when he appears. Isaiah wrote, "Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." This is the people at the time of the appearance of the Messiah. This is in Isaiah 30. The people of Baha'u'llah's day caused the, quote, "Holy One of Israel to cease from before them by sending him to the prison city of Akka. Isaiah wrote of the treatment that the Messiah will receive in this prison. Isaiah wrote, quote, "Many were astonished at him. His visage was so marred." Isaiah 52. In another place, Isaiah said, "He is despised and rejected of men. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was taken from prison, from Akka. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and God shall prolong his days." Isaiah 53. According to these passages from Isaiah, Isaiah says that the Messiah will suffer greatly in prison, so greatly that his friends and family will be astonished by his bruises, his wounds, and his marred appearance. And Isaiah ends the section by promising that despite his sufferings, the Messiah will live to see his children, and that God will prolong his days, that the Messiah will have a long life. That's all the time I have on this side of the tape. So if you don't mind, I'm going to continue on the next side. So please come back. Please come back. And I will finish this commentary on the book of Isaiah and Baha'u'llah's fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. Welcome back. This is a continuation of the prophecies that Baha'u'llah fulfilled from the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah next promises that when the Messiah comes, he will not only renew religion, but he will reveal new things. Isaiah wrote, quote, "The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and he will magnify the law and make it honorable. I will do a new thing. Shall ye not know it?" This is Isaiah 42:3. "The former things are come to pass, the new things do I declare. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He shall magnify the law, make it honorable." Then he says, "I will do a new thing. Shall ye not know it?" This is Isaiah 42 and 43. Jesus foretold that a new Jerusalem would come. And here Isaiah was saying that when the Messiah appears, he will do new things. The prophet Daniel wrote that the books are sealed until the time of the end, at which time the Messiah will come to unseal them. And then once again in the book of Revelation, we find a similar scene where John describes the Messiah opening a scroll sealed with seven seals. And Baha'u'llah has done this. He has come, he has brought us new teachings. Isaiah continues by telling us something about these teachings. He tells us that the new era, which will be ushered in by the Messiah, will on one hand be characterized by turmoil, by upheaval, by wars and great suffering. But on the other hand, Isaiah also promises that these birth pangs will culminate in a world where, quote, "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This is Isaiah 2. Isaiah speaks of the people who formerly were asleep and dead, saying, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Isaiah 9. Does Baha'u'llah fulfill this prophecy? Has Baha'u'llah brought a new government? The answer, once again, is yes. Now at the end of his book, Isaiah tells us what the eventual goal of the religion of God is. He says, quote, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind." This is Isaiah 65. And again he says, "I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. All flesh shall come to worship before thee." This is Isaiah 66 in the very last chapter. All nations and tongues will come. All flesh shall come to worship before thee. And this will be a time when war will cease and a government will come which will increase to encircle the entire earth. Now, Baha'u'llah does very specifically claim to be the one foretold by Isaiah. Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, "I am the one whom the tongue of Isaiah hath extolled, the one with whose name both the Torah, the Old Testament, and the Evangel, the New Testament, the one with whose name both the Torah and the Evangel were adorned." Now, although the book of Isaiah was written over 2,600 years ago, it clearly foretells the life and teachings of Baha'u'llah. And here Baha'u'llah very clearly says, "I am the one whom the tongue of Isaiah hath extolled." Now, Baha'u'llah very literally fulfills each and every one of the prophecies given by Isaiah. Baha'u'llah came with a new name. Baha'u'llah's name in English means the glory of God. Baha'u'llah's people are called by a new name. They are called Baha'i, or followers of Baha. Baha'u'llah was born to the east of Israel in the land of Persia. He is a member of one of the oldest royal families of Persia, and he's descended from the Sasanian dynasty of Persian kings, as foretold by Zoroaster. Baha'u'llah also is a direct descendant of Abraham and Jesse, the father of King David. Baha'u'llah was royalty. Baha'u'llah was literally a prince, the Prince of Peace. Now, how does this story relate to the book of Revelation and to the book of Daniel? We have seen that in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, both of these books foretell the coming of a beast who opposes the people of God. And it has been demonstrated that in the past, this was an extremely destructive element which had arisen within the religion of Islam. And by the time that Baha'u'llah appeared, the clergy and the government leaders, which in one sense are the beast of the book of Revelation, became Baha'u'llah's worst enemies. They despised him, and they conspired to destroy Baha'u'llah. Now, even though Baha'u'llah had committed no crime, his enemies had him arrested. He was beaten until he was bruised and bloody, and he was thrown into an underground prison almost unimaginable in its disgusting circumstances. This prison was dark, it was cold, it was vermin-infested, and it had no sanitary facilities. Now, his enemies also placed Baha'u'llah in special chains, which were reserved for the worst criminals of the realm. Now, these chains weighed over 100 pounds apiece, and they cut deeply into Baha'u'llah's shoulders and neck, and they scarred him for life. Now, Baha'u'llah's health deteriorated so much in the dungeon that he almost died. And his visage, as Isaiah said, was so marred that even his young son had difficulty recognizing him when he saw him. Now, the Islamic clergy had decreed that membership in Baha'u'llah's new religion was a crime punishable by death. The Islamic clergy and government leaders not only conspired to kill the Bab, the forerunner of Baha'u'llah, but they eventually killed more than 20,000 innocent believers. Many were put to death in the most fiendishly imaginative ways. And yet, despite these persecutions, Baha'u'llah's fame increased, and this new religion continued to grow. So next, Baha'u'llah's enemies, in an attempt to limit his growing popularity, his enemies exiled him away from his home country. Baha'u'llah was forced to travel over 3,000 miles on these exiles. And his enemies eventually sent him to the most foul and desolate prison in the Ottoman Empire. They sent him to the prison city of Acre in Israel. Now, it was the hope of his enemies that Baha'u'llah would die in this horrible prison and that he would be forgotten. But instead, by sending Baha'u'llah to Israel and by sending Baha'u'llah to Acre, his enemies actually unknowingly fulfilled the ancient Bible prophecies of Isaiah and the other prophets. Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, came to Israel from the east involuntarily as a prisoner and an exile. Now, life in the prison city of Acre was extremely harsh. Baha'u'llah's young son and several of Baha'u'llah's companions actually died from the conditions of Acre. And Baha'u'llah himself, too, suffered terribly. And at times, it seemed that he too would perish. Now this, however, was not to happen. After all, if you recall, Isaiah had promised that the Messiah would endure these hardships. He would come out of the prison. He would live to see his seed, his children, and he would live to an old age. Now after spending years in Acre, Baha'u'llah did eventually come out of this prison. It was then that he and his children then pitched his tent on the side of Mount Carmel, overlooking Acre to the north and the plain of Sharon to the south. Now, Baha'u'llah spent the rest of his 40-year-long ministry as a prisoner near Acre. So as you can see, as Isaiah promised, God prolonged Baha'u'llah's days. He did come out of the prison, and he did live to see his seed, his children. Baha'u'llah eventually lived to be 75 years old. And it was from the prison of Akka that Baha'u'llah wrote the new teachings. That is, as Isaiah said, magnify the law and make it honorable. And Baha'u'llah also has created the new government whose increase will see no end, as promised by Isaiah. The supreme governing body of Baha'u'llah's new world order is called the Universal House of Justice. Now, when we compare the prophecies of Isaiah to the life story and to the teachings of Baha'u'llah, we can see that Baha'u'llah very clearly fulfills each and every one of the prophecies given to us by Isaiah. Now, this brings us full circle to the first prophecy that we mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. The Hebrew prophet Ezekiel, speaking of the Messiah, said, quote, "Thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year." Ezekiel 4:6. This is the day for a year statement from Ezekiel. Now, using the day for a year principle again, we know that the 40 days actually are 40 years. In other words, Ezekiel is saying that the Messiah will, quote, bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, unquote, for 40 years. The Jewish rabbinical scholar Theodore Gaster, in his book The Dead Sea Scrolls, gives us an even clearer picture of this 40-year prophecy. Rabbi Gaster says, quote, "The war against Gog and Magog, the beast, would mark the end of the present era of wickedness, but not the end of the world. It would last 40 years, the period of so-called messianic travail, and would pave the way for the era of divine favor." Now, these prophecies, once again, were fulfilled by Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah suffered exile and imprisonment at the hands of the Islamic clergy for 40 years. His sufferings have ushered in this new era of divine favor and progress. Now, virtually every area of human life has been transformed since Baha'u'llah appeared. Look at what life was like 150 years ago. And then consider the tremendous advances in the world since then. It's obvious that a completely new era in the history of humanity has dawned. This is the long-awaited era of divine favor, which will gradually see the establishment of the universal peace, which was foretold by Isaiah. Now, the story of the conflict between the beast and the Son of Man, the Islamic beast and the Baha'i faith, still continues today. Now, the Baha'i faith is the only non-Islamic religion ever to show significant growth in an Islamic country. And despite ferocious opposition, the Baha'i faith has grown to become the second largest religion of Iran, which is ancient Persia. Now, when the Islamic government of Iran seized power in 1979, they once again launched a concerted campaign to destroy the Persian Baha'i community. But when the Baha'is of Iran refused to convert to the religion of Ayatollah Khomeini, thousands of these innocent people were either executed, murdered, abducted, or imprisoned. Their property was confiscated, and they were no longer allowed to hold jobs. They were not even allowed to leave the country. Now, when an appeal for mercy was received from the President of the United States, the Islamic government of Iran responded by executing 10 more Baha'i women and young girls. In order to induce the greatest amount of terror, these young women were hanged one at a time while the others watched. The youngest Baha'i executed was a 15-year-old high school girl. Now, the human rights group Amnesty International has called this persecution of the Iranian Baha'i community the most serious human rights violation on earth. And the sufferings of the Baha'is of Iran still continues today, despite appeals from the governments of the civilized countries of the world. Now, the Islamic beast is still determined to destroy the Baha'i faith. Now, Jesus taught that, quote, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And anyone who has recently read the newspapers or watched the news on TV can easily see the fruits of the Islamic beast. What are the fruits of the Baha'i faith? What did Baha'u'llah teach? You know, Jesus said that false prophets will arise. But then he said, the way that you can tell a true prophet from a false prophet is by their fruits. What is Baha'u'llah's fruits? What did Baha'u'llah teach? Baha'u'llah said, quote, "We desire but the good of the world and the happiness of the nations. Yet they deem us a stirrer up of strife and sedition, worthy of bondage and banishment. That all nations should become one in faith, and all men as brothers. That the bonds of affection and unity between the sons of men should be strengthened. That diversity of religion should cease, and differences of race be annulled. What harm is there in this? Yet so it shall be. These fruitless strifes, these ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come." Unquote. The central teachings of the Baha'i faith are the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, and the oneness of humanity. Baha'u'llah teaches that divine revelation is an ongoing and progressive process. He affirms that all the great religions of the world are divine in origin, and that they represent successive stages in the spiritual evolution of human society. Now, the teachings of Baha'u'llah revitalize the essential verities revealed by each former messenger. And in addition, he has revealed new teachings which satisfy the needs of the world in this new era. Now, some of these new principles include the elimination of prejudices of all kinds, with special emphasis on the elimination of racial prejudice, the independent search for truth, the equality of men and women, the essential harmony of science and religion, the need for universal compulsory education for children, the need for a universal auxiliary language, a second language which the people of the world can learn, a spiritual solution to economic problems, the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty, and the protection of cultural diversity. Now, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Baha'i is one of the most widespread and diverse religious groups on earth today. Britannica states, quote, "Over 14 major religious systems are each now found in over 80 countries. Christianity, Islam, and the Baha'i world faith are the most global." Unquote. Now, however, unlike the other religions, the Baha'i faith has never split. The Baha'i faith has never split up into sects or denominations. The Baha'i faith is still unified. The Baha'i faith has demonstrated its ability to attract members from every culture and religion. And today, the Baha'i international community is a cross-section of humanity living in more than 125,000 locations in over 340 countries and territories. These figures are probably obsolete by now. The Baha'i faith is growing so rapidly. The Baha'i faith includes over 2,100 races, nationalities, tribes, and ethnic groups. And Baha'i literature is translated into almost 800 languages and dialects. Now, the promise that peace will come was given by the Hebrew prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." This is in Isaiah 2. In Isaiah 9, he says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government shall be upon the Messiah's shoulder, "of the increase of his government and peace. there shall be no end. The government will increase until it encompasses the entire earth. Now Baha'u'llah, the promised one, foretold in the prophecies of Isaiah, has established this government. Baha'u'llah's government is democratically elected, and it exists today at the local, national, and world levels. The world head of Baha'u'llah's government is the 9-member Universal House of Justice. Now, the Baha'i World Center resides on the site of Mount Carmel, the holy mountain in Israel, as promised by Isaiah. And the Baha'i writings describe the Universal House of Justice as, quote, the sole refuge of a tottering civilization, unquote. Now, this house, the Universal House of Justice, was created by Baha'u'llah and has been charged by him with the responsibility to establish the peace promised by Isaiah. Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, it is incumbent upon the ministers of the House of Justice to promote the lesser peace. This matter is imperative and absolutely essential, unquote. Now, in response to this Great Commission, the Universal House of Justice recently issued a call to the peoples of the world in a letter titled, The Promise of World Peace. This letter begins, quote, the great peace towards which people of goodwill throughout the centuries have inclined their hearts, of which seers and poets for countless generations have expressed their vision, and for which, from age to age, the sacred scriptures of mankind have constantly held the promise. This peace is now at long last within the reach of the nations. World peace is not only possible, but inevitable. Now, whether peace is to be reached only after unimaginable horrors precipitated by humanity's stubborn clinging to old patterns of behavior, or is to be embraced by an act of consultative will, is the choice before all who inhabit the earth. Unquote. Now, the promise of world peace identifies the favorable signs for peace. It defines the role of religion as the source of order and examines the root causes of war. It lists some of the primary obstacles to peace, such as racism, the inordinate disparity between rich and poor, unbridled nationalism, and the lack of full equality between the sexes. It states that world order can be founded only on a consciousness of the oneness of mankind, and it offers the Baha'i world community as a model of the unity necessary for peace. Now, finally, the promise of world peace calls for the holding of a, quote, mighty convocation, unquote, of the leaders of all nations that will lay the foundations of universal peace. When Jesus first appeared 2,000 years ago, the excited news went out, quote, we have found him whose coming was foretold in the scriptures, unquote. Now, this statement was immediately met by an objection, by a skeptical remark. And all Baha'is ask you to do is to examine the proofs of Baha'u'llah, to examine his teachings, and then to decide whether this story is true, to decide if Baha'u'llah truly is the Promised One, to decide whether Baha'u'llah truly is from God. Now, Jesus tried to prepare his followers to recognize the coming of his Father's kingdom. And that's why he taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer is found in Matthew 6:9. Now, this is one of the ultimate goals of Christianity, to recognize the coming of the kingdom. Now, Jesus knew that this would be difficult, and that's why he gave us so many prophecies to show us the way. Jesus hoped that we would have the ability to recognize the fulfillment of these prophecies, so that we could help build the kingdom of his Father. In another place, Jesus said, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This is found in John 14:6. Now to this statement, Baha'u'llah joyfully replies, quote, Lo, the Father is come. Lo, the Father is come. And that which you were promised in the kingdom is fulfilled. This is the word which the Son, Jesus, concealed, when to those around him he said, Ye cannot bear it now. Beware, O followers of the Son, that ye cast it not behind your backs. Take ye fast hold of it. Better is this for you than all that ye possess. This is that which the Son hath decreed, and whatsoever hath proceeded out of his blameless, his truth-speaking mouth can never be altered. Now, we have conclusively shown in this presentation that the mysterious Bible numbers and their corresponding prophecies have repeatedly foretold the appearance of Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i Faith. The Promised One has come, and the unity and well-being of the entire human family is the purpose of his revelation. Now, the Baha'i international community offers itself as an example that the lofty goals and objectives set by Baha'u'llah can be achieved, and that peace is possible. The Baha'i Faith helps us to understand the processes that are reshaping the world, and it gives us hope that there are workable solutions to the problems that threaten humanity. Now, you may or may not have heard this extraordinary story before, and the Baha'is only ask you to do one thing. We ask you to examine the proofs and then to decide objectively whether this exciting story is true. Now, if you do find that it is true, then we invite you to join with us hand in hand as we build the Christ promised kingdom of God on earth. Now, in conclusion, Baha'u'llah states, I bear witness, O friends, that the favor is complete, the argument fulfilled, the proof manifest, and the evidence established. Let it now be seen what your endeavors in the path of detachment will reveal. In this wise hath the divine favor been fully vouchsafed unto you and unto them that are in heaven and on earth. All praise to God, the Lord of all worlds. I would like to thank you for listening to this presentation, and I would like to bring this presentation to a close with a quote from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote, quote, The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. I will do a new thing. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? We Baha'is invite you to learn more about Baha'u'llah, to learn more about the Baha'i Faith, and if you do decide that it is true, that it is from God, then we invite you to join with us as we arise to spread these teachings around the world. The Baha'i Faith will transform the world. Thank you for listening.
If you've enjoyed this 8-part series of Joel Smith's, I hope you'll visit Joel's website at www.bci.org/prophecy-fulfilled/. Prophecy is spelled PROPHECY. You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i Faith, call 1-800-22-UNITE or in Florida call 850-543-2129. Look on the internet at www.bahai.org for the international site, or www.bahai.us for the U.S. site. Remember that Baha'i is B-A-H-A-I. In Florida, our website is www.emeraldcoastbahais.org. emeraldcoastbahais.org. You might want to check out another Baha'i podcast called A Baha'i Perspective. I'm Ron Fraser. You can email me at panhandlebahais@aol.com. Thanks for listening.